Come on. I've said this before, right? It's a good thing I'm not God. You know, and really, because I let everybody in. You know, in my heart, I just have a hard time with people spending eternity separated from God in the place of, in my mind, I just have a hard time rationalizing that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just somebody that's going to suffer forever and ever and ever and ever. And then when that's through, forever and ever and ever. Never stops.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1.
This morning we're going to be talking about going for the gold in eternity. Going for the gold in eternity. Throughout this series, we've talked about going for the gold in several areas, but now we want to look beyond this earth, and we want to look for the fact that God has called us to strive for gold. And even when we leave this life, we are going to be residing in a place of gold. I've written a book, and the book is called Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. And a lot of stuff that I'll be saying will come from the book that I've written. And I want to open up by reading a page that I have in the book here. And as we look at it, it says, we realize that gold is waiting for us. A woman was diagnosed with a terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. As she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and asked him to come to her house to discuss some of her final wishes. She told him which songs she wanted sang at her funeral service, what scripture verses she wanted read, what outfit she wanted to be buried in, and she requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. As the pastor prepared to leave, the woman suddenly remembered something else. She said, "Ah, pastor, there's one more thing." "What's that?" said the pastor. "This is important," the woman said. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor stood looking at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. The woman explained, "In all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, when the dishes of the main courses were cleared, someone would inevitably say, keep your fork. It was my favorite part of the meal because I knew something was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie. So when people see me in that casket with a fork in my hand and they ask, what's with the fork? I want you to keep telling them, the best is yet to come." The best is yet to come. And we are looking at going for gold in eternity, and we're going to be talking about the New Jerusalem, a golden city. And then we're going to get to the 24 elders casting down their crowns at his feet. My friends, the best is yet to come. Now, when we think about heaven, there are several myths that we see. One is heaven is not a real place, that it's just a figurative place, that when we die, we just have this feeling of euphoria and that we experience that for out eternity. A second myth about heaven is that we will float around on clouds playing harps. A lot of the pictures that we've seen over the years, we've been depicted as cherubs with a harp floating on the cloud. Here goes one right here that we can learn a lot about heaven from people's afterlife experiences. You know, now again, Hollywood has portrayed a lot of afterlife experiences. And some people take their theology from Hollywood. But I want to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, rather than taking your theology from movies, rather than taking your theology from Hollywood, you ought to take your theology from this book right here. Because it's giving you an accurate description. You know, I remember reading about one person who died and they so-called went to heaven and came back, and they made a whole movie about the situation only to come to find out that a lot of it was fabricated. And so you really can't trust these people who said they went to glory and came back. And then if they went to glory and came back, or let me put it this way, if they went somewhere and came back, how do you know it was to heaven that they went and they didn't go somewhere else? So don't put your faith in people who come back with afterlife experiences. Now, I'm not broad brushing and saying that, you know, we should discount all of it, because maybe there might be. I look at the scripture, the Apostle Paul, he was caught up in the third heaven, and he came back and he told us stuff about heaven. When we look at other individuals in the scripture, John was caught up in the heaven, Revelation, and he came back and told us. But those things are recorded in the Word of God. So I just say be careful when you take your theology about heaven from Hollywood or the movies. Here goes one right here. Heaven is boring. You know, I'm going to share with you today. Heaven is anything but boring. Some people say, well, I don't want to go there because it's just going to be one big worship service and all that's what we're going to do all day long. Well, you know what? That's not the case. But even if that is the case, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Here goes one. I've shared this one before, and again, I say the time to correct bad theology is not at a funeral service. The time to correct bad theology is right now. And so I'm going to correct bad theology, and that is we become angels when we go to heaven. No, we don't. We don't become angels when we go to heaven. You know, God created all the angels at one time. He hasn't created any more angels since then. And you're not going to go to heaven and become an angel. Here goes one right here, universalism, that says everybody will be going to heaven. You know, there's this big doctrine out today, again, called universalism, that says that everybody's getting in. Well, you know, that's one of the biggest lies that Satan ever perpetrated. And then another myth is that there are many ways to heaven. And people want you to believe that, you know, Jesus made it very clear. He made it very plain. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. I mean, that's pretty clear. But yet and still, people say there are all ways to get to heaven. They say, you know, you probably heard this expression. We're all going to the same place. We just have different ways of getting there. Well, no, that's not true. I mean, now, again, I'm going by the Bible. Now, you can go by all this other stuff that's out here, and they'll tell you all this other stuff about how you can get there. But when I look at the book says that there's only one way to get there. So with that said, let me talk about the beauty of the Golden City. The beauty of the Golden City. There was a little girl and her mom, and they were walking along a path one starry night. It was just beautiful, man. You could just see the stars and the constellations and the moon. And the little girl turned to her mom, and she said to her mom, she said, Mom, if heaven looks so beautiful from the wrong side, what must it look like from the right side? Oh, my goodness. And John said in Revelation 21, verse 2, he says that, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down like a bride adorned for her husband. I've been the pastor here at Bethany going on 35 years now, and I've done a lot of weddings. And it's a beautiful thing when the music is playing and I'm standing up front with the groom and the groomsmen and the bridesmaids, and all of a sudden, the door opens, and I'll say, let us stand, and the bride will come in, and all heads will turn. And inevitably, every time when the bride comes in, somebody will say, ooh, right? And people just become so overwhelmed and so caught up with the beauty of the bride. And the scripture says that the New Jerusalem is like that city that's coming down, that has been adorned. And when we get to heaven, I believe that, you know, again, and I'm going to talk about God, so I'm not putting God in second place. But I believe that when we get to heaven, that one, we're going to get there and we're going to say, ooh, ooh, you know? And just think, you know, this is a beautiful thing, right? Your loved ones, right? Think about your loved ones. I'm going to think about my mom, right? I'm thinking about my mom who went home to be with the Lord. And that's where she is now. And what must it have been like for her when she entered into the gates of heaven and just to look around, knowing that we were missing her down here, but she wasn't even thinking about us, right? I mean, just overwhelmed with the beauty of the city of God. Notice what it says, that there was it was a city of pure gold. A city of pure gold. Now, when you think about that, you go to another passage in Revelation. It says there was no more night. There'll be no night in heaven. There'll never be a time when heaven is dark. Heaven is always lit up. And when you think about, and just look at that city, right? Pure gold. And so it's coming down, golden streets, and then you have the glory of God. And the glory of God is reflected off of the gold that's in heaven. And the whole place just lights up. It says the Lamb is the glory, is the light of the city. And so this beautiful city, and as I read the scripture, I talked about all the different stones that were in the city and the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. And this beautiful place that we are all headed, what a blessing it is to know when we leave this life that we are going to be in the presence of God. But perhaps the greatest thing about this place we are going is not the golden streets, not the pearly gates, not the walls of jasper, but actually, I wrote a poem, and in this poem, I've entitled it, The Greatness of Heaven. The greatness of heaven is seen in the occupants there, the redeemed and the angels whose praises fill the air. But three who have been there for all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Holy Trinity. The Father is the one who is seated on the throne, receiving worship from those he calls his own. The Son, the Lamb who died on a tree, displaying his wounds for all to see. The Holy Spirit who descended from above, resting on each one, filling it with love. With great joy, I will reside in that place, knowing it's only because of God's amazing grace. Perhaps the greatest thing about the city, the greatest thing about the place that we are going, is that we will be there with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The songwriter said, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There with him forever in his praising grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, Home at last, burdens past, ever to rejoice. The greatest thing about heaven is not the streets, or not the walls, or not the gates. The greatest thing about heaven is our God. That is who we long to see. That who is who we long to fellowship for. And in the poem, I hope you caught it, that the scripture lets us know that he will still have the nail prints for all eternity. And I'll be able to look at him, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. And I will see the wounds, and I will be ever mindful of what he did for me and how I got there. And Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'll be there because of him. I'll be there because of the grace of God. I'll be there because of the Holy Spirit. Going for the gold. I don't know about you, but I'm going for the gold. You know, when we think about this life and the trials and the tribulation and the sorrow, my heart becomes kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. My heart longs for that place. And I'm like the Apostle Paul, and this should be the attitude of all of us. The Apostle Paul said that I'm in a strait between two things. He said, I'm torn between two things. He said, going home to be with God, which is far greater than anything that can happen here on this earth. He said, but it's needful for me to stay here for you, because God has some work for me to do down here. But look at Paul. Where was his yearning? Where was his longing? People who had come into the presence of God, he yearned to go back and be with him and realize that the only reason he was on this, oh my goodness, the only reason that he was on this earth was because God still had more work for him to do. And the only reason you're here, I don't care who you are, the only reason you're here is because God got something else for you to do. He got some more work for you to do. He got another soul for you to minister to. He got another song for you to sing. He got another prayer for you to pray. He got another scripture for you to read. He got another homeless person you need to feed. He need another naked person you need to clothe. God has you here for a reason. But saints, there's nothing wrong with longing for that place. That beautiful place, that beautiful city of God. There was a pastor, and he was preaching a message one time, and he was preaching on heaven. And he asked, is anybody in here, if you died today, that you wouldn't go to heaven? And the little boy raised his hand. He said, if you want to go to heaven today, come on up, and we'll show you how to get to heaven. And the little boy didn't come. And the pastor went up to him afterwards and said, son, he said, I noticed that you're not going to go to heaven when you die, and I was going to show you how to get right to go to heaven. How come you didn't come up? He said, well, pastor, he said, I want to go to heaven, but I thought you was getting up a load today. Right? So we might not be ready to go today. We might not want to be in that getting up load that's going today. But I want to go. That's the place where I want to be, going for the gold. This golden city, let's look at this. I put this little chart together to kind of help us see some things. The golden city, who's going to occupy the golden city? Well, we see in Revelation 22 and verse 14, it said, blessed are they that wash their robes, that they have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Who can go? Those who have washed their robes. And we know how to get your robe washed. by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you get them washed white, clean robes. And that's what God puts on. Now, who is not going to occupy the city? Well, the next verse tells us exactly who will not occupy the city. So notice what it says here. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So these are unregenerate people, people whose clothes haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so we see who's going to be in the city. The city are for those whose robes have been washed in the blood of Christ. Now, I put a continuation of this to let us know, and I put it in red, that you either go into a place of gold or you go into a place that's red. And when I say red, I mean fire, the fiery lake. You know what? Come on. I've said this before, right? It's a good thing I'm not God. You know, and really, because I let everybody in. You know, in my heart, I just have a hard time with people spending eternity separated from God in the place of, in my mind, I just have a hard time rationalizing that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just somebody that's going to suffer forever and ever and ever and ever. And then when that's through, forever and ever and ever. It never stops. And you know, I guess that's why some people have a hard time with God. Because they say, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? Right? And so I could get caught up in that real easy. I'm going to be honest. I could get caught up in that real easy. But you know, one thing that I realize, that's not what the book says. I got to go by the book. I can't go by my feelings. And see, a lot of people today want to go by their feelings. Well, how can a loving God let somebody go to hell? I don't feel that that's right. Well, you didn't write the book. He wrote the book. And he said in the book that they're going to go to this place of eternal punishment forever and ever and ever. Now, I could continue on and say this, that because God is a loving God, that he's made a way for people to escape the fiery furnace. For God so loved the world of people, the world of sinners, the world of, as it says here, the sorcerers and the dark. For God so loved the world of dogs, of sorcerers, of fornicators, of murderers, of idolaters, of those who lie. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to the lake of fire, should not go to everlasting destruction, but have eternal life. The love of God. The love of God. And then I'm going to top it up with this caveat, then I'm going to move on. And that is, why in the world, how could a loving God let somebody go to hell? Why in the world would God make somebody come be with him?
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1, you can contact us at EncouragedInJesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1. That's EncouragedInJesus.org and request Going for the Gold in Eternity, Part 1 from our series, Going for the Gold. or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the